It's kind of an old story, but I still love it. When three pastors got together, you know, we do that once in a while so we can brag on our congregations. And they were discovered that they had some very similar problems with people, but this particular community had a real problem with bats in the belfry. Bats in all three churches. And the pastor's like, what are you going to do about it? One pastor said, well, I don't know. I thought that maybe if we rang the bell really loud, it would get rid of the bats. And they rang the bell really loud and no bats left. They still had as many as they started. One pastor decided they'd take a little bit more aggressive approach and took a shotgun to the back of the church and shot up through the roof. And no bats were harmed in the formation of this story. But they also did not go away. The third pastor said, I had no problem. I got rid of all the bats. And they said, what did you do? He said, I baptized them, confirmed them, and I haven't seen them since. Yeah, I know. It hits a little close to home, doesn't it, sometimes? If that story wasn't true, it wouldn't be so sad. I mean, it's a common occurrence. People come to the church. They desire a Christian baptism and church membership, and we welcome them into our fellowship. And then for 6 weeks afterwards, as we continue to welcome them in our fellowship, sometimes you don't see them anymore. And what does it mean? I mean, our parents, when they stand up to baptize a child, they are making a lifetime commitment to do whatever it takes to raise that child within the life of the church. And you make that same commitment as a congregation. But what happens when we do that and then they disappear or rarely ever seen again? What do those promises that we make mean? So this Sunday, the second Sunday of the year, is the traditional Sunday when we recognize Jesus' baptism. And I want you to, for just a little while, think about your own baptism. I'm going to assume that all of you have been baptized. If you have not, you can talk to me later, and we will take care of that as long as you promise to come back next Sunday. And this is something that I want you to consider your own baptism. When Jesus came to be baptized by John, there was an interesting act of contrition. John the Baptist admitted he wasn't worthy to even lace up Jesus' sneakers, not even close to that. And yet Jesus joins in that crowd that was being baptized by John. It's a dramatic moment for John and for Jesus. For here there is a voice from heaven that says, Thou art my beloved Son, whom I love. With thee I am well pleased. Baptism has always been at the heart of Christian life. It's a sign, it's a symbol that a person belongs to Christ. It's a requirement, frankly, for membership in churches. It's a sacrament, a means of grace from God. Why then do so many Christians take baptism so lightly? Maybe we need to consider what baptism says to us. First of all, baptism says that it is God who has saved us. Certainly it is not the water. I mean, water is a wonderful symbol, but that's all it is a symbol. The story is told of an old mountain preacher who was baptizing converts at a revival meeting, and up stepped a wiry, sharp-eyed old man who said he wanted to be baptized, and the preacher led the man out into the river, out into the water, and asked him all the usual questions, and then asked the congregation, is any reason why the ordinance of baptism should not be administered to this man? And after a pause, a tall, powerful-looking man who'd been watching. Do you notice how I pick up a southern accent when I tell these stories? Yeah, I don't know why. No, but it's a southern story, so what can I say? Anyway, he said, I want to say something about this, that man you have out there, frankly, preacher. I don't want to get in your business. Don't want to interfere with what you've got going on, but I want to say that this is an old sinner you've got out there, and that one dip won't do him any good. You're going to need to tie him out in the deep water for a couple of days. And you know, the objector was right. If the hope for cleansing was based on the efforts of the water, there was going to be a whole lot more water that's going to need to be used. But it's not the water that saves us. Water is just a symbol. Water itself has no saving power. And to be frank about it, neither does the strength of your belief. Now let that roll over you for a second. Doesn't take belief to be baptized. The focus of baptism is not on the believer, but it is on God. Grace is not something that you can earn, but something that you receive as a free gift. Baptism symbolizes a turning away from sin, and it is turning to God, who delivers us from the power of sin. It's not a victory of our own will, but of God's will. And that's why we always come to Christian baptism as an act of total humility. Baptism is a symbol of God's grace freely given to us. In Vienna, Austria, you will find a church in which the Habsburgs, the former family of Austria, are buried. And it is said that when one of the royal funerals takes place and they come through the town, they come to the cathedral, the knock is on the door, and a priest behind the locked door says, "Who is it?" And the response might be something like, "His Apostolic Majesty, the Emperor." And the priest says, "I don't know him." And after another brief pause, another knock, "Who is there?" "The highest emperor." And the priest says, "I don't know him." And after a third knock, "Who is it?" "A poor sinner, your brother," comes the final answer. And then the door is opened and the royal funeral continues. That's the proper attitude for baptism, total, complete humility. It is not the water that saves us. It is not our own soul, our own noble intentions that save us. It is God acting out of total and complete self-giving love that accepts us just as we are. So that's the first thing we need to see. It is God who saves us. But the second thing is, it is God who calls us. Baptism is a free gift from God, but the purpose of baptism is to give us a new identity. The word baptizo is a term that was used in the first century for dipping lightly colored garments into dye, and that would be changed in its identity from an original color to a new color. The act of dipping it resulted in changing its identity, and it was called baptism. And it's the Greek term from which we get our English word. "Once we were no people," says the Old Testament. "Now we are God's people. Baptism is a sign of God's call to you and to me to be new people." Sue Monk Kidd, in her book, All Things Are Possible, says that so often when she opens a newspaper and she finds herself reading some depressing headline, or I guess, you know, this morning, before I come into worship, I always read through the news to see if there's anything that I need to pray about and bring to you. It's always depressing, so I try not to bring that in here, but there's always something there. She said whenever she would read about bad news, she would do something. She opened it up once and she read a remark, a headline printed in half-inch letters, and it said, "I asked Jesus into my heart." That's an unusual headline. And so she went on to read it, and this is what she said, that during the night, dogs had begun to bark furiously at the home of a local couple, and usually the dog's barking was only reserved if there was something going on outside the house. But the next morning, the couple discovered that nothing had been taken from their house and said something had been left. Outside the front door were two car speakers that had been stolen 6 weeks earlier, and a note attached to them read like this, "I'm sorry that I took your speakers, but now I have repented my sins and asked Jesus to forgive me. I hope you will forgive me too. I no longer take other people's belongings. God has changed me. I'm a new creature since I asked Jesus into my heart." And it was signed, "Simply Saved." Great story, right? I read it and I thought, saved would have been nice if you put the speakers back in the car, but that would have might have been pushing the whole story a little bit much. But instead of being written saved, it could have been signed baptized. In fact, I like that better than the word saved, because it connotes that we have been delivered from the power of sin. But baptism is more than that. Baptism means that we have put a new life into our life in Jesus Christ. It means that we have not only given up all those old unsavory behaviors, but now we walk in the footsteps of the one who gave his life for us. And we can come for baptism or confirmation. How can we do that and then disappear in the life of the Christian community? On the Wall Street Journal, there's an article some years back about the dramatic increase of fundamental Islam in Turkey. This was way before 9/11, so this is a different kind of world. But Turkey at the time had been a relatively secular place. And they quoted a young Muslim Turk who said, "Our view of religion is different from yours," he said. "According to your rules, religion counts only in the place where you pray. Our religion is a way of life. I have no time at all, not 1 minute, without Islam." Is that how the world views Christian faith? It only counts when you're in here? Only applies while we're at church? Where have we missed? Why do we not understand that baptism means a beginning of a new life? To paraphrase the young Muslim, "I have no time at all, not 1 minute, without Christ." Pastor Martin B. Heldring once returned to Heppenheim in Germany, where he was born, and it was in that place that he'd been baptized. He would go into the parish church and put his hands on the baptismal font and then think deep thoughts. There were thoughts of gratitude for everything that he'd received from his parents, from his church, and from God. And there were thoughts about renewal and rededication to his calling as a disciple, a Christian, and a follower of Jesus Christ. It began with baptism right there at that fount. The church was very old. Generations before him had received that same gift at that same fount. How could he be faithless to his calling? Baptism signifies that it is God who had saved us and God who has called us. Now look up at the screens there in front of you. Do you see that baptismal font? That is not as big as I am, but it is huge. It stands about that big, made of marble. It is an amazing baptismal font. I was baptized there when I was less than a week old. And I came back to when I was working on this sermon thinking, I want you to think about your own baptisms, and it made me think about mine. I mean, I know right where that font is. I could go to it in a moment's notice. It's at the little Catholic church in Coral Gables, Florida, where my brother and I were both baptized. That's where it all began, everything from there. And every time I look at that picture, I'm reminded of that. We refer to it as the smells and bells, because it was a Catholic church, so it had the aroma of the candles and the incense and all of that. And it makes me feel humble and kind of awed that God could be so good, so great. That's where my whole life really began. Can you remember where you were baptized? Can you go back and put your hands on the font itself and be reminded that God's love for you and God's grace was poured into you at that place, at that time? Now, many of you probably are asking the question, what about, I was a Baptist, and we don't baptize babies. And that's perfectly fine. That God works in so many wonderful ways. There is not a wrong way to do it, frankly. If you do it as an adult, you do it as a child. We do it as children. And the reason we do that is because by the time you become an adult, you think you're in charge. And God is in charge. And so we baptize children because children are helpless before God. Children cannot make up their own minds, and God calls them at the moment of their greatest weakness. And we recognize that. And what does God do? God puts that child into a family of faith. God puts that child into a community like this of faith. God does all of the work, and all you get to do is to receive it. And it's a huge thing that changes your life, changes it forever. Because the reality of your baptism is that from that moment on, you know that God goes with you. Just as we do not come to baptism trusting in our own merit, but in God's gracious love for us, neither do we live the Christian life trusting in our own strength. Now, for many of you, you're very strong, and I trust you, because I know that your strength is something this church relies on. But for most of us, we're not strong. We're very weak. We pretend that we are. But it is the presence of God that changes us and makes us into who we are. Martin Luther himself, the great founder of faith, used to, in his darkest moments, would temper himself with these words, "Baptistus sum, baptistus sum," which is Latin for, "I am baptized. I am baptized." Baptism is a reminder to us that we are not alone in the world. Just as Jesus heard the words of his baptism, "You are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased." We hear these words as well. "You are my own child. I am with you. you are not alone. Everyone in this small town, and Grandma Newt called her Grandma Richardson, sweet old lady. One afternoon, she was looking out her window, and she saw a bunch of men standing on the front porch of her house, and she knew exactly what it meant. Her husband had died in a collapse of a coal mine. She knew about it. She knew years passed slowly and with great difficulty, but Grandma Richardson was admired by everybody in town for her courage and her unwavering faith. All of her children would come to church almost every single Sunday, and she just made things work for them, and it was tough. And yet there was another knock at the door. Her oldest child had been killed in another mining accident. It was enough to break most people, but as she grew older and weaker in the spring and the summer when the weather was warm, she would sit out on her front porch. She'd rock in her rocking chair, softly singing the songs of faith that she knew so well. Children would gather around her, and they would listen to her and listen to her tell the Bible stories that she knew so well. And then it happened again. Another son killed in the mine. But after the funeral, Grandma Richardson was again sitting on her porch and rocking and singing hymns of faith. And one of the children who saw her there asked her, "Grandma Richardson, aren't you sad today?" And she said, "Yes, I am sad. Very, very sad. It's hard to say goodbye to somebody you love, but I have had to do it 3 times. But I have something more than sadness inside of me." And then she talked about her faith. "Can you give us some?" one of the children said. "Why, children, I've been giving it to you every day." It's knowing that God loves you and that He has made one promise, and that gift is the most valuable gift in the world. God promised that no matter what happens, no matter how good or bad things may be, regardless of your joy, regardless of your sorrow, no matter what you do in your life, God will never leave you alone. Take that. Take that reality, because that is God's promise to each of us. It gets part and parcel with our baptism and what we do at the communion table. And to understand all of that is to become new people. It is God who has saved us. It is God who has called us into a new life of service, and is God who goes with us. What good news. Baptismus Zoom, we have been baptized. I invite you to express that now as we join together in a time of Holy Communion.